Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I'm the founder of the Ellenbecker Investment Group and a senior wealth advisor. And today is, every day is fun. I say that it's a fun day, but they're all fun. But I have the opportunity to interview and share with you Brett Engelken, who is the head of our operations and systems. And I thought I would just like to share with you a little bit what goes on behind the scenes. And so, Brett, we had a little bit of time to talk this morning, and I was sharing with you that having this conversation with you brought up some of the past experiences that I had in deciding to start my own firm, which we're celebrating our 30 years. And I remember starting, which is now almost 40 years ago, and looking in the New York Times and looking in the Milwaukee Journal, and it was one page of stocks and mutual funds. And we had a ticker tape that we would all go stand in front of to see where the stocks were trading, because it was not on a computer at that time. And I can remember when I was doing my own research, which is what we had to do, I would come in on Saturdays and I would open up the Morningstar and I would go through all the Morningstar listings. And then I would come in on Sunday and do Value Line and do my own research and try to determine which were the absolute best stocks that I wanted to, and investments I wanted to offer to my clients. And the only form of education we had, the firms I work with, they had a research team, but by the time the research was printed and came out for us, it was old. And that was actually the same thing with Morningstar and Value Line. So it is a bit different, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. It's been very fun. I've been in this industry for 35 years, and the evolution of the industry and within Ellenbecker. You know, I started with Ellenbecker in 2015, so it's been 11 years now, and just seeing the change and the evolution of individuals like yourself going from a stockbroker or a stock jockey, as we used to call them, and having to spend hours and hours and days picking investments and researching it and then presenting it to your clients. You know, you spent so much of your time doing that versus truly being able to service a household or a family.
And it's really funny because when you say sharing that with our clients, we never met with clients then. Everything was done over the phone. There were brokers who had been in the business who had never met their clients. Mm-hmm. And that was a hard thing for me because I am a people person. And that's when I started doing seminars and things to get in front of people. But now it's all about those relationships and building relationships.
Yeah. No, it's totally evolved, where I think the investment piece, you know, if you're invested in a high quality, well-diversified portfolio, the performance is going to pretty much mimic the markets. Obviously, you want to participate in the upside and you want that protection on the downside. But for the most part, no matter where you invest, you're truly getting a well-diversified, high-quality portfolio that should perform well. So then you get into the intangibles. And what other services, what other pieces are you getting from your investment advisor that truly makes the relationship special? And I think that's where there's a real difference with Ellenbecker compared to most other firms.
One of the things that we wanted to do this show for is because I had noticed that nobody ever comes in and asks me, what is operations? How do you determine your systems? And of course, everybody's interested in that now because we want information protected. And so can you just talk a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in some respects, we help keep the lights on, right? You know, the advisor teams all go out and, you know, meet with their clients and make recommendations and change the portfolios and do all that. But then what happens after that meeting? You know, when all that paperwork comes in and making sure that all the funds are allocated properly, that the money is taken care of, the investments are all done properly, all the trading takes place, getting all that lined up, and then just making sure that everything is, you know, keep all those ducks in a row, right? At the end of the day, is just really keeping it organized. There's a huge compliance piece that comes along with it. I think this industry, compared to most, is perhaps the most highly regulated, but there's also a lot of opportunities for fraud out there too. And we see that all the time, sadly. But even then, with that, we do everything we possibly can to protect those client assets, protect that information, and just make sure they're getting the best service possible.
Well, I'm just going to take us down the memory lane a little bit. When you started with EIG those many, many years ago, this is my baby, right? You know that more than anyone. And everything we did was manual.
Yep.
Remember my portfolios?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
And we would sit there and I had to do it manually. And you were, Karen, there's going to be a better way. We have to do this in a way that is easier for advisors and easier to display what we're doing to our clients. And I fought you on it.
Mm-hmm. Fought me hard.
What did that feel like? and that's, I think, a really big thing, because most of us that have firms, and we'll talk a little bit about a boutique firm, it's our baby. And I always say nobody wants to have their baby's clothes changed, but yet we have to be current. And we need people like you to really help us see that there's new ways, new innovative ways of serving our clients. And that way wasn't bad, but it had to evolve.
Yeah. And it was more with the advent of technology, right? I mean, I go back when I graduated from college in 1991 and I had my first job at a fairly large brokerage firm. I remember my first day, I walked in the door and there was just paper everywhere, just reports. There were no computers. We couldn't just go on a computer and look up someone's balance. We had to do it all on and it was the big 11 by 17, you know, the green bar, we used to call it the green bar paper, right? And just reams and reams and reams of that. And if your client called up and said, well, I need my balances, you would go through and flip through that. And, you know, as we evolved and technology became more and more prevalent, it made life a lot easier. And you still need that balance. You know, you want to use technology, but you don't want technology to use you. And, you know, you talk about a lot of these online firms nowadays where, you know, back in the day, the broker never met their client, right? Well, if a client goes and signs up with a Robinhood or something like that, there's no financial advisor, there's no investments. They just go in there and place their trades and they're done. And as human beings, especially when you get into the investment piece, that human connection, you know, there's just that warmth and that reassurance that someone is overlooking your stuff and not just a computer somewhere in some server in the cloud makes a big, big difference. And that's where I think, you know, the Allen Becker difference also makes a huge contribution to that.
One of the things that I was in a meeting with my daughter, Julie, years and years ago, and we were talking to our client about legacy and legacy planning. And I remember Julie just out of the blue said, you know, part of your legacy is the people you leave behind that take care of your investments, your accountant, your attorney. And you want to make sure that you have the right people in place, because those are your kids are going to believe you've got the best people. Why wouldn't my dad or mom have the best people in place? And so that brings us down to the word boutique, because we're often described as a boutique firm. And it is a big part of the boutiqueness of us, is making sure that not only do our clients have the right people in place, but that we have the right people in place.
Yeah, way beyond the investments. I mean, the investments are obviously a significant component, but you get into everything else that comes along with it, the tax planning, the investment planning, the estate planning. If you have kids that are going to college, you want to be able to, you know, prepare for that as well. And then even down the road, retirement planning. So all those other pieces, they sound like it's all the same thing, but they're clearly not. There are so many other dynamics that come into play. And to have that boutique-y, close-knit relationship makes a big difference because of that legacy and passing it on. It's like your doctor too, right? You have a lot of very intimate conversations with your doctor that no one else can hear and no one else knows about. But if you have to switch doctors every year and tell that story over and over again, you're never going to get that consistency, and you're never going to have that trust and that really warm fuzzy that you get. And it's the same with your financial advisor, that you want to trust someone and make sure your kids know that as well, so that can just get passed on.
I think the idea of the comparison to a doctor is really good, because you count on the fact that your doctor is going to have the right resources. If you have an issue that they don't deal with, but there's an issue that arises, that they're going to send you to the right person.
Right.
And they're going to recognize it, and they're listening for other things. And I do think that boutiqueness, that ability to pause, which is my favorite word, and to really listen, and then to be a solution and be solution-minded. Because the last thing that we want for any client under any situation is to feel like a turtle in their back, and they don't know who to trust, and they don't know who to call, and they feel like nobody's got their back.
Right. Yeah. No, it really does. It's that trust. It's that long-term trust. And you know, if you meet with someone and you have to reiterate your life story every single time you meet with them because you're switching financial advisors, switching doctors, you lose that cohesiveness. And with them knowing that full history can really, really help to get that foundation established and help it grow.
So let's take a quick break and we come back. You came back to the big frightening word. I used to say that in our business, the big word that sort of unhinged some clients was when you brought up the idea of a budget. And they'd look at you, a budget, you know. And then I figured out that we don't use the word budget anymore. We really try to identify our clients as entrepreneurs with their own portfolio. And we try to look at costs and really getting people to understand that it's not about budgeting. It's really just about knowing your cash flow. And so people like that word much better than budget. So the new word is technology, AI. And I think that for me, I did not grow up with a computer. You know, all of a sudden it appeared in my life and I had to try and catch up. But our kids now, they wouldn't even know what it would be like to have a ticker tape, you know,
right?
Or to do hand calculations the way we have to do them today. And so I'd really like to get back to your job and how you interface with everybody in the organization, because sometimes I think people think if they hear compliance or they hear investments or some of the things that you do, they think you sit in a little office and but it's the interfacing and working with each other and the collaboration in the firm that I think is really one of the most important things for any firm and anyone looking for a firm. And with that, we'll be right back.
Want to keep building wealth that aligns with your values? New episodes of Money Sense drop weekly. Subscribe now and continue learning how your money, your choices, and your life can work together.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I'm the founder of the Ellenbecker Investment Group, and that's 30 years now. I can't believe it, and to think, and I'm dating myself, but to actually think that when I started this firm, I had no grandchildren. I had three children, and now I have seven grandchildren, and I have two great-grandchildren, to put 30 years in perspective. My guest today is Brett Eggleton, and he is head of this title, we've changed all these titles. You're head of operations and systems. When I started this firm, I could have used someone head of operations and systems, but that was a hat that I wore. And that hat has changed immensely. And you've taken on some huge responsibilities within EIG because it's such an important role. And I really wanted to develop this series because I think people would really be interested in what actually happens behind the door when they come in. And how do we get to the point where we sit down and talk to our clients about investments and security? The familiarity that we have with our clients. I hug my clients, and I know that sounds weird, but I have clients that I have had over 40 years. And when I think about my children and launching them, and when I think about now I have grandchildren who are graduating from college and starting business careers and helping them to navigate how do they save for their future. And I don't know how I got great-grandchildren. I know how I got them, but I can't believe I have them. And now I'm seeing them come up. So I have these three generations before me that really help guide me in what I want to do and what we want to do in our company. And so I want people to understand the importance of the job that you do and working with all the different people. We have 54, or is it 56 employees that make this company work.
Yeah. And a lot of what we do is to kind of help bring that all together. When you think about the investments and the operations, which is more of the managing all the cash and the paperwork and the accounts and the trading aspect of it. And then you go bigger and you look at the firm in a whole in terms of how we integrate with marketing and all the events and all the advertising that we do out there. And you talk about the compliance piece, because I think clients are very much in tune with, you know, especially with how much data we have access to. I mean, we really do.
And how fast.
Yes.
It's like taking a drink out of a fire hose.
Exactly. Right. And to make sure that is protected, that, you know, everything is safe and secure. There's a lot of moving parts. So
there's cars out there that don't have drivers.
Yeah.
Now, if you'd have told me that a few years ago, I would have said, how could that possibly be? But it is.
Yep.
And I think for our clients and for individuals out there from an educational point of view, you need to know who's driving your bus.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. Well, it's the education piece, you know, and to me, it's not so much the education, but it's trust. You have to have that really deep embedded trust because you reveal so much information, probably in some cases more than you would share with your doctor. We like the parallels to a medical, but you know, they have to know everything about your income and your assets and your debts and any challenges you're facing. Any medical issues potentially can have a huge impact on your investment portfolio. So you really do, to have a true effective relationship with your wealth advisor, you need to have that really deep relationship and trust.
Do you know, Brett, it's so interesting because I always think there's not one size that fits all. And that was what prompted me all those years ago to do seminars, to be in front of people rather than to be talking over the phone. I needed to look in people's eyes and see their emotion when you talk about something. And to do those seminars was such a great thing. And I think about, at that point, I had three kids and I didn't have a lot of money. And I was gone all day. I didn't want to be gone for my kids all night by doing seminars. So I took them with me and they checked people in and gave pads of paper and pencils. And Julie always passed out the pencils. And here she is, the president of the company today, the little girl that passed out pencils. And so our business started a really long time ago. All the things that have happened in our business have come from an understanding that maybe it could be done in a different way. So years ago, when we had the radio show, I would listen on the radio and I'd say, but that's not really for everybody. Everybody can't own that mutual fund. Everybody can't own that stock. We need to talk about more things. And so I started my own radio show.
Yeah. Well, I think that ties in very well with the whole boutique establishment, right? That it's not just, investing is not a cookie cutter situation. And one of the things that we do, certainly managing operations, the back office, if you want to call it that, is every advisor has a different philosophy, a different approach, and you know, they're very unique in that respect. And so we have to make sure that we allow them to be who they are and to express themselves and to translate that down to the clients. But then you look at every single client, you know, of the thousands of clients that we have, every one of them is different. They're not the same. They don't all want the same investment. They don't all have the same needs or priorities. And so we have to be able to cater that. You know, if you have 100 different clients, you probably have 100 different philosophies with those clients. And so managing that and making sure we stay somewhat between the guardrails and, you know, the safety, the security, the protection, growing their assets, you know, creating that legacy for them. Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts there, but it's fun and it's really exciting. And like you said, the relationship that comes along with it is just the icing on the cake.
I remember my father-in-law who has passed away. He was a watchmaker and we had a jewelry store. Their family had a jewelry store and he loved watchmaking. And then Timex came along, changed the scope, yeah. Changed the landscape. And he was really sad because that was so important to him. And I can remember that's how I felt about my portfolios and what I had created. But we have to be willing to change and we have to be looking at the future and we have to be looking at, I know, and I talked to you this morning about when I started my firm, nobody was doing fee-based. And so I felt like this horse out of the box and I was right ahead of, I was getting around that finish line. And all of a sudden I woke up one day and there were all these horses next to me saying they were fee-based. And that was when I started the billboards. And I remember people telling me that's crazy, only ambulance chasers do billboards. But it felt right to me to be able to put something out there that helped people think differently. And so one of our first billboards, of course, was before we invest, we listen, before we advise, we listen. And of course, I learned about listening when I worked in a nursing home when I was in high school. And I recognized that when I listened to people, I really was able to create a connection with them because their lives were very important. Mm-hmm. And now radio used to be the way that we connected really easily with our clients, but people aren't listening to the radio anymore. We're doing podcasts here, Brad.
Right.
I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone. And I laugh because when I did radio, nobody saw me. So if I did it in blue jeans, I could get away with that. But it's being willing to have ideas, but willing to change. And that's really what you have helped me to do, is to trust you that we're going down a new lane or a new path, and to be able to recognize the importance of being different. But it's not just about being different, it's about being good and being different.
Yeah. It's part of the evolution.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about way back in the day when we were picking stocks and creating portfolios. That part hasn't changed. I mean, the way we do it and how we make those decisions changes, but the underlying concept of it, that foundation of a good investment portfolio, the why, hasn't changed. It's just it's a little different now. And same with driving our cars too, right? Back in the day, we used to have to put it in drive and we used to have to push these buttons. And now you push one little button and it does everything for you. Or
my car the other day said you should stop and get a cup of coffee. I didn't even know it did that. All of a sudden I looked at the dashboard and it says, time to get a cup of coffee and a stretch. And I'm like, oh, this is scary.
Absolutely. And that's that integration of technology, right? That technology can do some great things for us as long as we come along with it. And we can't lose that human connection. That piece is so vitally important for us as human beings. You know, you need that human connection. We can't spend 24 hours a day on Zoom calls, right? And then close our eyes at night and think we had a fulfilling day. A fulfilling day is connections and eye contact and hugs and kisses and all that stuff. And that's what makes the big difference. And especially about investing, you know, it can be very, very emotional for a lot of people. And if you've got that human connection, you can bond on it and really have fun with it.
A lot of times people come in and they don't know what to expect and they don't know the questions to ask. And there's a lot of really easy questions that you can ask about your license and all that. But the questions that people don't really ask is about the relationship and what does that look like? And how will you work with me? How, you know, one of the favorite things that we do at EIG is that when a student graduates from college, we sit down with them and help them to pick out all the different things that they have in a new job opportunity, their 401ks, their health issues, their disability insurance, and helping them to understand. Because I don't know about you, but I've worked at several firms and they gave me a pamphlet. Nobody really helped me with it. And I just put it on the side of the desk because I was worried about learning all the other stuff. But it's helping our clients in that way of fostering that relationship, because we do know that we're all going to die at some point. Not me, of course, but we are. And how do we pass our legacy down, our financial legacy, who we are, the why of our lives? But also part of your job and part of my job and all of us is building those relationships, not just with our clients, but the people in the community, the centers of influence that also can help our clients. And that's something that I think is important to talk about in your job. It's also the people who you work with is important, and those relationships. And one of the things that I'm so proud of is working with Mary Brown. Is a friend, has become a friend, mm-hmm. wasn't a friend when I met her, but now it's been over 25 years that we've worked with them, and they know our business. They know us. And I think even in a friendship, when I think of if you get into a disagreement with a friend, if they know you, they're going to know that if anything happened, it wasn't intentional and just having a bad day, and they're going to say, oh, Karen, get up on the wrong side of the bed today. But they're not going to hate me. They're not going to think I'm a bad person because we know each other.
Right.
And I think that that's important in a firm. Do you know the people you're working with?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's that legacy, like you said. And, you know, that next generation coming up, whether it's your children or your grandchildren or nieces and nephews, whatever, it is important to have them start with that right away. And you mentioned it before in the last segment, that the dreaded B word, right? The budget. If you really scale it back, it's fairly important, but it's also very simple when you think about it. And you talk about losing weight, right, too? Losing weight is very simple. It's calories in versus calories out. And as long as you have more coming out than you have going in, you're going to lose weight. And same with spending, right?
Or as maintain
long as,
it.
Yeah, right. you know, as long as you're spending less than you're making, then you can take a portion of that and you can just, even if it's $5 a month or $50 a month or $500 a month, whatever your value is, you just be disciplined with it. You'll never miss it. But then you got this great little nest egg over here that just slowly grows over time. And for our children, It makes a huge difference. Yeah, my kids are 27 and 29 right now, and I'm spending a lot of time educating them on that compounding. And, you know, in 20 or 30 years, they're going to be in a phenomenal place. And there's zero impact on them today. So it's really just transferring that great relationship and pushing that legacy down. And if you've got someone you trust, it's a lot easier than just trying to do it on your own.
One of the things, Brett, that I did in with EIG many years ago, and I haven't done it for a while, is I would go into high schools and I would talk to the economics class, and I would ask them one of the questions I always ask: how many of you would like to have your own business and be an entrepreneur? All the hands went up. And I think, I don't have an absolute statistic, but my guess would be maybe one out of that entire class or two actually became an entrepreneur. And most of them worked for someone else and created wealth for someone else, and often didn't have the tools or the knowledge to know what you're doing for your kids, how to save early and understand compounding as it pertains to your life, not as it pertains to knowing it, how it works. What I discovered was that every one of us is an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Because our portfolio, in the end, when you retire, whatever you've accumulated in your life is now going to give you your next paycheck.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about cash flow, when we talk about, which so much seemed to be so much nicer than budgeting, when you retire, you want to have your business is now your portfolio. Mm-hmm. And you want to get a paycheck. You want to get bonuses along the way. You want to take time off and take vacations, and you want to fund it. And that's the goal for our clients, is to help them to understand the importance of that portfolio. And if you're an entrepreneur, and if you think of your portfolio as an entrepreneur, you're going to watch taxes. You're going to want to know who you're working with. You're going to know what happens in an up market, in a down market, because that's your business and that's your business model. And when I talk to clients in that way, they go, wow. I say, yeah, when you retire, you're an entrepreneur. You have your own business. It's your portfolio.
Yeah. Yeah. And what are your goals with that portfolio? Yes. Or that business? You know, do you want to be able to have your children come in and run that business? Or do you want to sell the business and get a big payout and then do something else with the money? Do you want to travel more? And that's where that relationship comes into play, is knowing what your goals are. And a computer can't do that. You know, that's where you still need that human connection, is yes. knowing how that all kind of ties together and then working as a team to meet those goals.
So my guest today is Brett Engelken, and he is head of operations and systems. And he is joining me because I thought nobody ever talks about what happens behind the scenes. And as we grow, I think it's really important to know, what does that look like? And so we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we've talked a little bit about the past and some of the funny things and the changes. And truly, Brett, now we own our own space, which when I started my company, I didn't think someday I'm going to own my own building and someday I'm going to have 50 some employees. I was happy with 3 employees and 1 computer and sort of snuck up on me that we are here today and the money that we're managing and the most wonderful employees ever. But we have a future ahead of us, and that's a big part of your job. And so we're going to take a break and let's talk about what the next 30 years might look like. With that, we'll be right back.
Ellen Becker Investment Group is officially launching our brand new program, The Wealth Seed. This program is designed to give you high-quality financial guidance tailored to your stage of saving, no matter your experience level. As part of this program, you'll get a growing library of short, easy-to-understand financial podcasts, monthly educational emails, interactive workshops, and curated tools like book and media recommendations. Plant your wealth seed today and start growing with us at ellenbecker.com/thewealthseed.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder of the Ellenbecker Investment Group 30 years ago. 3 kids ago, 7 grandchildren ago, and 2 great-grandchildren ago. Still surprises me. It really does. And my guest today is Brett Engelken, and he is the head of operations and systems. And I invited him to talk a little bit about what makes a tick, you know? And it seems like people don't really often think about that, but I think it's an important piece, not only for me, but Brett, how you work with our current clients and our advisors and all of the different strategies within our company, marketing, it's an important position and it's also going to drive the future. So what keeps you up at night?
Oh, goodness. today, honestly, the thing that keeps me up at night is how fast we're pushing with AI. I love it. I think it's going to be a phenomenal resource. It's going to really alter and change so many industries, ours included. So, but I also think we have to make sure the guardrails are still there. We have to be measured with it. And there's a lot of bad information out there, you know, and when you take a step back and look at AI, all AI is doing is digging deeper into the internet, essentially, to get more information that the Googles and the Yahoo searches don't get right now. So it's just going in deeper, but it's only as good as the information it gets,
right? Who's behind AI?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what is that? I mean, it's like, for me, it's like when you guys used to talk about the cloud, I'm thinking, is there a cloud up there? And what does that mean? You know, it's all these terminologies that people just relate to something like a cloud. To me, was a cloud, you know, and trying to get my arms around that. And now it's trying to get your arms around AI and using it in an effective way, because it is effective, as you said, and there's some things that are not.
Yeah. Well, AI is as good as the information it receives, right? It's the epitome of that old phrase, garbage in, garbage out, right? There's a lot of phenomenal information on the internet, but there's also a lot of really bad information. And if these computers and these servers don't understand what's the good versus the bad, it's going to spit out bad information. And I was just reading an article in Investment News last week, actually, that said that a lot of high net worth clients are using AI to help them with estate planning, tax planning, and wealth management. And the consensus was they did this study and they went to all the major AI chats that are out there. So ChatGPT and Gemini and Gronk and Copilot. And they said that a majority of the time, the results that were getting spit back to these high net worth individuals, it was either inaccurate or it was stale, dated information, or just flat out wrong. And so people are potentially basing this information on that, which in one sense is kind of scary. So that's the biggest thing that's keeping me up at night, is potentially people using AI for that purpose, but not validating it. So
I did my own test because it's all really foreign to me in many ways. And I do like it as well in getting research and things, but I bought two different programs and I put two different concepts in and they both came out with different answers.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I took my answers and I put into each other one and said, what do you think about this? And each one came back and said, this is great.
Yeah. 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 So they, and they say it with conviction, and especially if you're doing a chat.
Oh, and
with
they
them,
tell you you're really good too.
Yes. It's a very convincing voice. It's very positive. It's
Karen,
very
that's the best idea ever you've had.
Yes, exactly. So you're like, okay, yeah, well, it's coming from AI, so it's got to be correct. Not true.
It's like news.
Yeah. Yeah. So with everything else, it's like trust but verify.
So what does our future look like, do you think? Not only just Ellen Becker, but the industry, because I know that we have a great team and we talk about the why of it and our ethics and our integrity and what our values are. And that's the basis, that's the cornerstone of where we, our launch pad. But what does that look like for the future? I mean, who's going to be driving this bus?
Yeah, it's a great question and I wish I knew that. But at the same time, one of the things I love about a small firm like an Ellen Becker, a boutique-y type of feel, is we can pivot in a second and make those changes, make that adaption. We've seen it just in the short time that I've been here, just even this year. You know, we needed some new systems and we said, hey, let's go out and grab this. And we went out and got it, boom, boom, boom. If you're with a larger firm, I won't name names, but you know the big players out there and the big names as far as the brokerage and the banks, in order to make a change or to add new software or to change a process or a procedure, well, of course, you have to have meetings and committees and then meetings behind the meetings, and then you have to go. And 6 years later, nothing changes, right? It's just mm-hmm. the big giant machine. So we have the ability to adapt and to morph in a way that still maintains the Ellen Becker from 30 years ago, but still evolving and embracing technology and everything else that comes along with it.
What do you like about your job?
The job and the industry, I just feel like it's something new every single day. And you just never know what you're going to walk into. And we're not coming into a manufacturing facility and putting widgets, you know, all day long at the assembly line, right? It's always new. It's always different. And you look at all the events that are going on geopolitically right now, which is crazy, but every single day is a different impact. And there could be a news headline. There could be an event somewhere. There could be a rogue tweet that just sends the markets into chaos or sends the markets into party mode. And we have to be able to adapt to that and react. And so that's the part I love. You know, you come in every day, guard up, and you're just like, well, let's see what's going to happen today. And to me, that's exciting. It's a lot of fun.
And you know, Brett, what I love about it, and this is over 30 years, is I have never not loved coming to work.
Yeah.
I've never not felt that I've made a difference in someone's life every right. single day. And I think that for anyone is to be able to say that is just really wonderful.
Yeah. And we don't have a product. We don't have something tangible that you can put your hands around, but we're doing some great things for people. Helping them live comfortably, helping them go out and, you know, remodel their homes or buy a first home and be able to travel and put their kids into school and, you know, doing those things and helping them achieve those goals. So yeah, there's nothing tangible there, but boy, you can sure see the impacts of our service to them.
So I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And Brett and I had a conversation before we did this. And so Brett has offered to do these shows a little bit more often than we initially thought, and just talking about what's going on and how things work. And so stay tuned, because the next one is going to be on compliance. And that's a big one. And if you haven't really thought about a compliance in your own firm that you're working with, I think you'll find it very interesting when you talk to Michelle, who is our compliance officer, about what's happening in the world and the things that we have to really pay attention to. So Brett, thank you so much for being a guest today, and thank you for offering to do some more podcasts, because I find this fascinating myself, because just as an owner, we get so busy, we often lose sight of all the things that are happening right in front of us. So thank you very much. And as always, I hope that I made a difference in your lives, and that what we always do is we listen. So yeah. Have a really great day.
Thank you much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Money Sense, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you found today's conversation helpful, we encourage you to share it with a friend or family member, and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe that education is the foundation of confident financial decisions. That's why we're proud to bring you insights from experienced professionals to help you build true wealth beyond just money. Please know, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes only and does not constitute personalized financial advice. Before making any financial decisions, we recommend consulting with a qualified advisor who understands your unique situation. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll be back soon with more insights to help you live with clarity and confidence.